Marvellous. As I said earlier, normally I would have left the start of a new sermon series the next week when our regular services kick off again, but I couldn't resist starting this series in Ecclesiastes today. After all, what better day is there to think about the meaning of life? The New Year's Day, a day of new starts when the past is literally behind us and when the future lies ahead. So if you've closed your Bibles, do turn back to page 670, because that's where we're going to start. Bit of background to start with. For many years, it was thought that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon, and it's easy to see why, just from the first few verses. But most commentators now think that it was written a few centuries after King Solomon by someone who we're going to call the teacher. Through the book, the teacher clearly reflects on Solomon's life, as well as on the life of other kings, as he grapples with those big questions that we have as human beings. Why am I here? How do I make the most of life? And so, rather like a scientist, the teacher examines all those different issues, or issues around pleasure and money and time and suffering and injustice, before arriving at his final conclusions. And it is a great book, and I hope that you'll enjoy the next 8-9 weeks or so as we work through it. And in chapter 1, the teacher launches into his research by forcing us to recognize two harsh realities about life under the sun, as the teacher puts it. Here's the first one. However hopeful we might be about 2017, it's largely going to be the same as 2016. And here's the second one. However optimistic we are that we can make a lasting difference in the world, ultimately everything is meaningless. There we go. Now, if that doesn't fill you with gloom on New Year's Day, then nothing will. But let's press on, because believe it or not, there is real hope for us in this passage if we can learn the lesson the teacher wants to teach us. But before we do, we need to understand what he means by this word, meaningless. Now, the Hebrew translations, or the Hebrew words in the original, are rather hard to translate, and you'll see lots of different words used in different translations of the Bible. But I don't think meaningless is really quite right. In English, the word meaningless conjures up ideas of something without value or purpose, and that's part of it, but the image is much more one of kind of a foggy vapour. We've seen a fair amount of fog over the last week or so, haven't we? But whilst you can see it, whilst it has an effect, it doesn't last, and you can't grab hold of it. It's insubstantial, ephemeral, and that's what the teacher says about life under the sun. He wants us to see that the end result of a person's life lived under the sun is ultimately insignificant and unsubstantial. Rather like a foggy vapour or a passing mist. We can see it, we know it's there, it hangs around for a while, but try and grab hold of it and it simply slips through your fingers. That's why the teacher can say that however optimistic we are about 2017, when it comes to human life, nothing really changes. That's the first point today. In the grand scheme of things, as people, we are like foggy vapour. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. That's what verse 4 says. Hatches, matches and dispatches. Part of the job of a vicar, very much part of life. Well, it's the start of the Lion King as well, isn't it? The circle of life. Things going round and around. And it's not just with human life that there is this cyclical pattern. Verses 5 and 6 reminds us that that's what happens with the sun, how it rises and sets, how the wind never stops blowing. They're things of part of the fabric on earth, a never-ending cycle that keeps on rolling no matter where we are, who we are, or who's in charge. And it's even clearer when you think about the water cycle. The rain falls from the sky, eventually makes its way back down to the sea where it evaporates, condenses into clouds, and falls from the sky, starting the whole process again. It's a cycle that goes on and on and on. There is no end point. There is no final goal. Nothing is achieved. It just keeps on going from age to age. And the teacher's point is this. Why should we think that we should be any different? You see, human nature won't be any different in 2017 than it was in 2016. There will still be villains and warmongers and self-interested politicians and egotistical sports and pop stars filling the newspapers. People will still be selfish and unkind and hurtful. We'll still be struggling, all of us, with the effects of the fall. Sin, disease, suffering, death. However optimistic we might be right now, nothing much is going to change in 2017. Life, with all its ups and downs, will go on as it always has. For life lived under the sun, nothing really changes. That's my cheerful point number one today. His second is just as positive. Nothing really lasts. Now, the last week or so, we've seen the death of another four famous people. And as usual, many comments have been made that their legacies will last forever, that they achieved something great, that they made a real difference to the world. And we'd like to think that that would be true, and we'd like to think that would be true for ourselves as well. But the teacher wants us to see that when we think we have done something unique or something memorable or something world-changing, or even if we think we have discovered something that no one else has ever discovered before, we're going to be wrong every single time. Now, of course, there were many impressive things last year. There were new world records set at the Olympics. There were lots of scientific and technological advances, and the teacher wouldn't deny those things. But his point is that those new world records will soon be broken, that new knowledge will be superseded. He even suggests that much of what we call new knowledge isn't really new anyway. It's just that we have rediscovered things that previous generations knew and that were forgotten over time. Verses 9 and 10. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. In verse 3, he asked the question, what do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? And his answer, nothing. Nothing. Nothing we do will last. The hope of a lasting legacy for any of us, either as a hero or a villain, is just foggy vapour. Our work or reputation might hang around for a while, but in a few years, when those who applaud us are dead and gone, no one will remember us or our accomplishments. And our achievements will just be consigned to history. And if you don't believe me, take a walk round Westminster Abbey or gaze at some of the memorials around here in church. Tombstones of the great and the good from ages past, whose fame and successes are now long forgotten, and whose names are nothing more than a line on a ledger. That's why you can say in verse 11, no one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. So if I can paraphrase that first verse. A foggy vapour, says the teacher. Our legacy in this world is ultimately insubstantial and elusive. Nothing more than a foggy vapour. Well, I hope that's encouraged you this morning. Hope that after hearing the words of the teacher, you are ready to suit up, to strive to achieve great things in the world, to make the most of the year to come. Doesn't exactly do that so far, does it? Can you imagine Winston Churchill giving a speech like this in the Second World War, maybe on the eve of the Battle of Britain? I'm not sure it would have inspired anyone to pick up a rifle, let alone risk body and soul for their king and country. So what are we to make of Ecclesiastes chapter 1? Should we just go home, close the door, turn on the TV and the laptop and just give up? Kind of sounds like it, if everything is pointless. Except that isn't the point of the book of Ecclesiastes. The teacher hasn't written a book to leave us feeling depressed, helpless and inactive because everything we do is nothing more than a foggy vapour. He has written a book to make sure that we put our efforts into something that will last and that has real significance. And if you've been looking through those verses saying, Dave said there was something positive here but I don't know where it is, the clue is in that phrase, under the sun. I've used it a few times and it's in the passage, three times, verses 3, 9 and 14. And it's meant to highlight the fact that he's talking here about there being two different ways to live. You see, we can live a life solely under the sun, living as if this world and this life is all there is. But ultimately, as he's shown us, it is futile and empty, as insignificant as foggy vapour. Whatever we chase after, we're not going to catch. Whatever we build will come tumbling down, either in our lifetime or shortly afterwards. We can live that way, under the sun, or we can lift our eyes to see the one who made the sun and this world and everything in it. and live a life not just under the sun, but with eternity in view, and with the Lord of the universe, whom the Bible describes as the rock, the eternal, the unchanging one, the creator, the sustainer of all things, directing our steps and walking with us every step of the way. That is the good news that Jesus came to bring, the reason we've been celebrating Christmas. Eternal life for all who repent and believe, a life with lasting joy, perfect peace, real purpose and eternal significance. And the great news is that that life starts now for those who believe. Outside of God, everything we do is just a foggy vapor, temporary, elusive, unsubstantial. That's the heavy burden God has laid on mankind, a mankind that has turned away from him, but it is not a burden we were meant to bear. You and I were built for something else. We were made, created to live alongside God with eternity, not just in view, but shaping and directing everything we do. And if we're to make the most of 2017 and however many years the Lord gives us to live, we need to learn the lesson the teacher has for us. We've got to live life with the right perspective, recognizing the things that are temporary, enjoying them for what they are, recognizing them as gifts from God, but concentrating our efforts, our desires, our ambitions, basing our meaning and our value on things that aren't that foggy vapor of the life under the sun, but things that are eternal, things that will last. And that isn't just a one-off choice. It's not a choice that we make just when we become a Christian. It's a choice that we need to make every day of our lives. Sometimes many times a day. We choose where to put our energies and our efforts. And we choose how to react in certain situations. It's not about living a solely spiritual life with no material pleasures. It's about making sure that the good things that God gives us to enjoy, whether they be sport or work or food or possessions or relationships, that those things don't become little gods that take our gaze away from Jesus. Having the right perspective on life, putting our energies and passions into things that will last forever. That's the lesson the teacher wants us to learn. And it's exactly the same message that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. You remember this verse. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? So if you want to look back a year from now, or 10 or 50 years from now, with real pride, confident that you have accomplished something of eternal significance in your life, then live this coming year and live every year with Jesus in charge. Let him and his life and his teaching direct the way that you think about your life and your future and your ambitions. Let Jesus direct and shape the way you think about your neighbours, your friends, about yourself. Let Jesus, because of his death on the cross in your place, be the one you turn to with your failings and your mistakes and your doubts and your fears. Center your life on him. Fix your gaze not on the temporary, the foggy vapor things of this world, but on Jesus and his eternal glory. And you'll find that your life will be built on a solid rock. That your feelings of self-worth will not diminish no matter what happens to your career or your finances or your house. And no matter what 2017 brings, your Jesus-based hope, your Jesus-based joy and peace, though they may take a battering on the way, will last throughout the year and your whole life through. Friends, in a life lived under the sun, outside of God, everything is foggy vapor. Nothing lasts. Nothing will bring us any final dividend. But in Christ, we have an eternal inheritance that can never fade or be destroyed. May that be our focus in 2017, for our joy and for God's great glory. Amen. Amen. Jason's going to come and lead us in our prayers now. Thank you, Jason.